Numbers chapter 12. Numbers 12, and we'll read these 16 verses of this chapter together. Numbers 12, beginning in verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who are on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting." So the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." Then the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again." So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. Well, as we make our way through this book of Numbers, we see that God is calling His people to and teaching His people in the midst of the wilderness to look to Him. He's teaching His people to look to the ministry of Moses, to look to the ministry of the tabernacle, even in their midst. And even in this passage tonight, a passage that we see is bracketed at its beginning and at its ending with two ladies, each with skin problems. He's teaching his people the importance of the role of the mediator. And ultimately, of course, he's pointing us not to the mediation of Moses, who was a great mediator, who, even as we saw in the call to worship from the book of Hebrews, was faithful in his house. Nevertheless, God is pointing us to a greater mediator, a mediator who is the son of his house, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is calling us to come to our mediator, that you and I are to come to our mediator for help in dealing with our skin problems. And as we'll, of course, see, our skin problems go much deeper than skin deep, even as Aaron and Miriam's problem went much deeper than just their skin. But it's symbolized, of course, with a skin problem. And so the Lord is beckoning us to come to the mediator to fix your skin problems. It's where this passage really focuses our attention. And it begins with this focus on skin problems. And it ends there as well. It begins with trouble in the camp. Family trouble, really an inter-sibling fight. Miriam and Aaron, of course, were the older siblings. of Moses, and Miriam and Aaron are upset with Moses. And the text highlights two reasons, really, why they were upset with Moses. First of all, his wife. His wife was of a different race. And some people have wondered, well, Zipporah, who's referred to in other places as the wife of Moses, she was the daughter, of course, of Jethro, a priest of Midian. Is this talking about a different wife? And there's really good reason from the language itself to say, no, this doesn't have to be a different wife than Zipporah. Obviously, it's talking about, though, the fact that Moses is in a relationship. He's married to a woman of a different race. And Aaron and Miriam take some umbrage with this. Perhaps it's primarily a racial problem with them. Why, in fact, have you married someone who's of darker skin than we are? Or it might be just that they're irritated by the fact that she doesn't fit in somehow with our family culture. And this time of year when we ordinarily would have family gatherings, right? You know, there's some sort of in-law who doesn't make the recipe the way that grandma used to make the recipe. And who calls this? You know, who says that this is the right kind of pie to bring at Christmas? Who says that this is the right recipe for the green bean dish, etc.? You know, we have a time-honored tradition in our family. Maybe Zipporah was under their skin a little bit because of that. Regardless, she was not fitting in, and they choose to blame things, particularly highlighting the fact that she is of a different ethnicity than they are. Secondly, their second problem that they have with Moses, verse 2, is that they accuse Moses of pride, of really becoming too big for his own britches. Are you saying that you're better than us? Are you saying that your ministry is so much more significant than our ministry? And so they are really accusing Moses, really in both regards, in some ways, of just being too important for himself. You think that the local girls, the other Jewish girls, weren't good enough for you to marry. You had to go to the Ethiopians. You think our ministry isn't as good as your ministry. And so they accuse him of this. But of course, verse 3 is placed where it is. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who are on the face of the earth. Right here in the middle of our text, God gives us his commentary on the man Moses. And he's pointing out to us that in spite of this accusation, that it's clearly a false accusation, that Miriam and Aaron's assessment is not the Lord's assessment. Moses was not proud. He had not married the Ethiopian woman to lord his position over the people. He was not one to reject and minimize the good work done by Miriam and Aaron. In fact, we can turn back. Who wrote the book of Exodus? Who highlighted the role that Miriam played in the preservation of Moses' life? Moses wrote that about his big sister. Moses is the one who recorded in the sacred scripture the song that Miriam led the ladies in, and her place in the ministry, her vital role in rejoicing over the good work that the Lord had done at the Red Sea. Moses also, in recording the account at the burning bush, records his own reticence to be the mouthpiece of the Lord, his own argument even with the Lord, painting himself in a bad light, and does not do so about Aaron. Moses was the one who had called the Lord, who had asked the Lord to appoint Aaron to the role that he was in. Furthermore, Moses, throughout these books of the Bible, highlights the role of Aaron as the high priest. And we've just come off of, at the end of chapter 11, Moses telling Joshua, rebuking Joshua, no, I don't want all the glory for being the only prophet of the Lord. I wish that all of God's people were prophets of the Lord. And so Moses is not, in fact, the problem. And the Lord puts that there in verse 3 in black and white for us. But the Lord did, chapter 12, verse 2, hear this grumbling, this complaining on the part of Miriam and Aaron against Moses. The Lord heard it, and He responds. Verse 4, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Of course, the Lord hears everything that we say. And He knows even when it's unspoken thoughts of our hearts, critical of our brothers and sisters, critical of those whom He has placed in leadership. And God hears, He calls them out, and He then descends and meets with them. In verse 5, the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. The text doesn't tell us, but it seems at this point in time that Aaron and Miriam are still worked up enough in their gripes and their complaints that, that's right, we'll talk to God about this. We'll tell you how you really ought to be functioning, Lord. They don't have the shame yet that is quickly going to come when confronted with their sin. And so they're eager, as it were, for this meeting with God. We'll meet with God and we can get our own way. We can get God to give us the credit that we are due that Moses has not given to us. And there the Lord confronts them, and He confronts them, first of all, with the significance of who Moses is and the way that He's using Moses. When there's prophets, I speak to them in dreams. But that's not the way that I deal with my servant Moses. How do I deal with Moses? He's faithful, verse 7. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. So why, when I've chosen Moses, I've made Moses my servant, I speak to him face to face, I speak to him plainly, why then, Aaron and Miriam, were you not afraid to speak against Moses? I'm the one who's chosen Moses. I'm the one. You're critical, actually, not of Moses and what you've said back in verses 1 and 2, but you're critical of my decision. And so then the Lord, we see, departs. He reveals himself, verse 9, in anger. And yet, instead of his anger consuming them, in verse 9, he departs from them. And as he departs, or when he departs, verse 10, here is Miriam. And how Miriam no longer looks the same, but in fact is covered with leprosy. She now has this skin disease. And there's really a sense here, as we come to the close of this text, is that the Lord, of course, who is the wisest father ever, knows how to make the punishment fit the crime. Right? Here's Miriam and Aaron criticizing the skin of Moses' wife, his Ethiopian wife. Racial undertones, racial statements. And God says, okay, well, the punishment, the discipline for the sin that you have committed, Miriam, will be a skin problem yourself. And notice then that for both of these women, Zipporah in her natural condition as a non-Israelite, and for Miriam now as a leprous woman, the result is that normal, under ordinary circumstances, they would both be outside of the camp. They're both outside of the people of God. And in fact, there's a verse that language is used in verse 14, particularly about Miriam. Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days. So that's their skin problems here. And the consequences, the result is for her that she would be shut out. And of course, for Zipporah, before coming into the covenant people of God, she too would have been shut out as well. So we have a skin problem or problems in the camp. And secondly, though, we see that the text points us to the skin solution. And the skin solution here, interestingly enough, notice how the text begins and ends with two women with a skin problem. And the text highlights, actually, in the way that it's structured, the role of Moses as the mediator. That there's skin problems on either end of the text. Actually, right smack dab in the middle of the text is the anger of the Lord burning because of these problems. And on either side of that anger of the Lord, as it were, insulating these women with the skin problems from the wrath of God, is the mediator. The mediator serving as the one who speaks to God face to face and communicates on God's behalf with His people. The mediator as the one who intercedes on behalf, verse 13, of the woman, Miriam, with the skin problem. And so God is highlighting Moses as the one who can bring the Ethiopian close to the Lord, and the one who can bring the leprous woman and can intercede for the leprous woman, bringing her into the presence of the Lord as well. And so Moses, as mediator, has this ministry of standing in the gap even for those who don't deserve it. And so Miriam is forced, and Aaron, of course, they are forced to turn to the very one whom they were critical of. And Moses then in verse 14 speaks for God to her situation. And yet another twist in the text, right? That the very one who they had said, how come he gets to do all the speaking for the Lord? That's not fair. That's not a good idea. We speak for God too. God actually humbles Aaron and Miriam so that they're reliant in a very personal, particular way on the word of Moses. And so God uses this opportunity not only to make the punishment fit the crime, but also to reinforce for Aaron and Miriam as well as the rest of the people, the particular role, the unique role of Moses. So those in that era, right, who wanted to come near, the Aaron and Miriam, who had been critical, how can they be brought back? Well, they need to hear from and respond to this mediator. Well, any time, of course, that we talk about mediatorial ministry in the Scripture, you know that it's always going to be pointing to a greater, much more significant mediator. And it's fascinating. You can almost just read through this text and substitute for the name Moses, substitute in the name of Christ as the greater mediator. The greater mediator who not only spoke to God face to face, but who actually is God. And of course, that means that when people are critical of His mediatorial role, when people take His name in vain, the sin is that much greater. If it was sinful to criticize the one who the Lord had chosen in Moses, how much greater it is, how much more significant the sin is when people speak against the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, of course, in His life and ministry, not only was able to intercede on behalf of those who needed healing, He was not only able to go to the throne of God and say, Lord, heal her, I pray, but He was actually able to minister that healing Himself. People not only could ask Him for salvation, and through him that he could ask for salvation, that he as well could deliver that salvation. And his mediation is even greater in that, unlike Moses, who was unable to save Miriam from experiencing the shame of being put outside of the camp, Jesus himself went outside of the camp for us. Praise God that we have a greater mediator whose ministry goes so far beyond just being skin deep to actually dealing with your and my hearts. But we can also see beyond just the greatness of his mediation as we reflect on the role of Christ, yet another reflection in what takes place here in this text. Because why is it that Moses is criticized? Moses, you've been way too gracious, too accepting, too free in your choice of a bride. Why would you accept, why would you receive this Ethiopian woman? And isn't the same actually true in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? What are you doing, Jesus, talking to the Samaritan woman, the woman by the well? Don't you know how many husbands she's had? Do you know the character of this lady who's wiping off your feet with her hair? Surely, if you knew who she was, you wouldn't let her within 10 feet of your hair. Who are you? You're having dinner with the tax collectors and the sinners, they would say to him. Why are you hanging out with sick people? And Jesus owned it, right? He wasn't ashamed of it. He said, I came to call sick people to repentance. It's not the healthy who need the physician. It's the sick. And yet people still criticize and are critical of his willingness and desire to forgive. Why would you extend in the early church and the rest of the New Testament? What kind of Savior is this that extends salvation beyond the Jewish people to all the Gentiles? And what we see is that just like Miriam and Aaron in chapter 12, verse 1, it's so easy for those who are in the established church and read that as, yes, the Pharisees, at the time of Christ, the Sadducees, the chief priests, but also sadly, for people like you and me today, to find ourselves having the attitude like Miriam and Aaron have here, of the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. Why would you welcome people like this? Why would you kill the fatted calf? That's not fair. That's not right. Why would we celebrate the homecoming of this younger brother? You can't welcome him, Father. And here, Miriam and Aaron, this woman has no place in our community. What are you thinking, Moses? What are you thinking? And that same criticism is leveled against, and even in our own hearts, we can find ourselves critical of Jesus. I understand that you came to seek and to save that which was lost, but do you really need to save people like that? Do people like that really have to go to church with me? And we can find ourselves questioning and criticizing his choice of his bride. Sadly, we can also echo Miriam and Aaron in our own attitude. attitude towards our importance in the body. That we want to make sure that we get credit for our crucial contributions as the little finger and the little toe. And in doing so, we can question and criticize the glory that Christ gets as the head of the body. As I said earlier, that His mediatorial work, His role, His importance, if Moses was important, if God came to the defense of Moses' good name in this text, how much more will He come to the defense of His Son's good name? And yet, we want to get some of that glory, sadly, for ourselves at times. And so we find, actually, that just like Miriam of old, that we need a mediator. And aren't you thankful that just as the text points us to a skin problem and a skin solution, that as we reflect on the Scripture, that we're pointed to a greater mediator. And so as we think about our skin problems, we have hope as well. Two modern skin problems that this text points us to. Two modern problems that you and I can bring into the church as well. The first is that, like Zipporah, the Ethiopian, that you and I would say, I am so shamed. I am so distant from the church, from the Lord, because of who I am, because of what I've done, because maybe of the way that I've been created. And the temptation, if you're like Zipporah, is to look at yourself and to say, salvation is impossible for me. It's just not possible for me to be one of the people of God because of my situation. And if that's the skin problem that you struggle with, you need to remember and be encouraged by, if Moses saw a place in the covenant community, if his love was able to reach out to an Ethiopian woman and bring her into the covenant community, how much more will the greater mediator, how much more will the Lord Jesus Christ reach out to those who in a variety of ways are shamed and welcome and say, come with me. Through my ministry, you can be reconciled with the Heavenly Father. Skin problem one, in a modern sense. I'm so shamed and distant from the Lord. There's no hope for someone like me. And yet this text teaches us, through this ministry of Moses to his own wife, and through her placement in the covenant community, that there is a place, and that even those who are distant can be welcomed and are welcomed through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second sin problem, or the second skin problem, rather, is of course the problem that Aaron and Miriam had. And their attitude was one of, thankfully, I'm not like Zipporah. My skin is so perfect. I'm of a different class. I don't need a mediator. We don't really need Moses in our lives. And we can have the attitude of modern-day Pharisees, right, who didn't see that they were sick, who didn't see. Why would we wait for a Messiah, in essence, was what they saw. We don't need someone to die on the cross for us. We already have righteousness figured out. And these people, instead of seeing their need for a mediator, sit in judgment on the mediator, and in their pride are critical of the bride of Christ and don't even see why they would need the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a real sense, this second skin problem, the failure to even see a problem with your own skin, puts you further away from the Lord. Puts you further away. Because at least Zipporah sees that my skin has cut me off, and it's only through a great mediator that I can be brought near. The Pharisee's skin problem says, I don't even have a skin problem. I don't need a mediator. And they deny the problem entirely. But of course, what we need to see is that all of us have a skin problem, and that skin problem ultimately is reflective of and indicative of a deeper sin problem. And that just like Zipporah and Aaron and Miriam, we all need a skin solution. And praise be to God that though our offense is much bigger because of our distance from the Lord, because of our distance from the mediator, than Zipporah's would have ever been, and though our sin is much greater than Aaron and Miriam's, because the mediator who we've been critical of is much greater, God has provided a better mediator who gives more grace. A mediator who is willing to intercede, a mediator who is willing to bring healing to you. And so whether you're like Zipporah and you can see even externally from your life, my sin is before me, the things that would cut me off from the grace of God, they're piled up in my sight. Recognize that there is a mediator who knows God, who is face to face with God, and who is willing to intercede, who is willing to be your Savior, who is willing, even the mercy of Moses in this passage, the willingness not to say when Aaron cried out to him, right, pray for us, pray for her, we pray. Moses doesn't say, well, I'd like to take about 3 days and think about it and see my shrink and see. No, he's immediately kind and compassionate. How much more is our mediator willing and ready to intercede for us? Will Jesus help you? Will He help me? Yes, He will. So that those who would otherwise be shut out of the camp, shut out through their own sin, shut out through their own criticism of God's appointed mediator, that they might be healed and brought near. Those shut out through skin problems can be healed and brought near. And so what do you and I need to do about this? Well, the first thing we need to do is wake up. To wake up and realize that we have a problem. That even as it seems that Aaron and Miriam really had not gotten the point, they really hadn't seen what the Lord was doing until the cloud departs and there is Miriam, leprous and white as snow. And now they see the problem. You and I need to see the problems that separate us naturally from the Lord. Those sins in our lives, those things that are shameful that we've done, that we think, that we say, those sins that we carry with us. And then what do we do? Well, having awakened, we follow the example of Aaron. realizing what we've done, we cry out, "Oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." Lord, we see our sin. Our sin is before us. It's great. We're deserving of judgment from you. And please, Lord, please don't allow us just to die in our sin. And the great news, brothers and sisters, is that we have a mediator, and that there's a mediator available for you. That if you'll just call out and ask for healing, that he is ready to intercede, to pray for you, even as Moses prays here. Please heal her, Lord. Oh God, I pray, please heal her. And the Lord hears that prayer and responds. What a comfort it is as a people who have skin problems and problems that go way beyond skin deep, that God's given us a mediator in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who, even though we are weak, even though we are undeserving, is ready always to intercede for us and is faithful to do so. And may he be faithful to intercede for each one of you as you cry out to him for grace and mercy. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess to you that we are a people who criticize your bride, who in our pride look down on and question those whom you in your grace have chosen to save, those whom you have chosen to bring near. And we also confess that in our pride that we seek more glory for ourselves, and that we, in doing so, actually take glory from you. Lord, we confess that. We confess that our iniquities have separated us from you. And we ask, Lord Jesus Christ, that you would indeed intercede on our behalf, that you would see us in our sin, and we confess our sin to you. And we ask that through your work of mediation, that you would secure healing and grace for us, your people. So do this for your name's sake, we pray. Teach us to trust in you more and more. Teach us to love your bride and the way that you've made her, those you've chosen to be a part of her. Teach us to love them. Teach us to long for your glory more and more, we pray. And we rejoice and we thank you for being such a wonderful mediator. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.